Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Bill O'Brien, we're going to hear from him in an hour and 15 minutes. Texans, quote-unquote, dress rehearsal yesterday, a scrimmage that nobody saw at NRG. We're a week away from the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kenny Stills, Will Fuller, Gary and Conley, Lonnie Johnson, Phillip Gaines, Colin Gillespie, Jonathan Grenard, Isaiah Coulter, J.J. Watt, all rested yesterday. So is J.J. going to practice at all, J-Lo, before the Texans take on the Chiefs? I say that tongue-in-cheek. He's obviously been out there a little bit. But, man, they sure are on J.J. Watch. They are on load management when it comes to 99.
You know, last week, I said that, you know, at what point do you start to kind of like maybe raise an eyebrow about J.J.? I mean, he's J.J. He knows how to get ready. The best shape of his life. People always say that. And probably half the time, if not more, they're just saying that because they want to sound good and they want everybody to believe it, you know? J.J. really is. I mean, he looks like just a monster, an absolute monster.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
Maybe Show was ahead of his time with that because he looks just incredible. And I say that, you know, obviously as a card-carrying heterosexual. I mean, he's – incredible. But I still raise the question, you know, at what point do you start to think, well, maybe there's something there? And then he showed up and dressed in pads, even though he didn't participate, to kind of let people know, no, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Here's the other part, though. I don't think he's going to do any full type work with the 11-on-11 that we can tell. It's a Thursday night game, man. You know, it's a Thursday night game, 1 week from tonight, which means their regular work week, now it can change because it's the first game of the year, like Sunday is going to be their Tuesday, you know? So that's the player's off day. That means Monday and Tuesday are their big days of work. So if he hasn't worked by Monday, we're not going to see J.J., you know, in real scrimmage-type situations.
Yeah, I mean, they got to make cuts in 2 days. Bill O'Brien making those cuts. I think the names to watch for, Jordan Thomas, Kahale Waring, and Colin Gillespie are the guys where, you know, whenever you look at cuts, a lot of times there's no surprises, but there's always that one guy who sticks out. Those would be the guys that I would say to watch. The fullback / tight end, Jordan Thomas, Kahale Waring, and Gillespie would be my guys to watch. Other than that, I think it's pretty much cut and dry. I think we could do a 53 right now if we so desired. And then obviously they're going to work the waiver wires as well. You'll see them adding guys on Sunday, but I think that's where we're headed right now, and I think most likely all those guys hang around.
Oh, I think so. I think so. You know, if you talk and you got me thinking when you said we could do a 53 right now, I don't think it'd be hard at all. I mean, I'm not going to do it; that'd be a waste of time. But I don't think it would be hard at all to build the 53-man roster right now. We said in the last segment, you know, who are your tough cuts? There's none really. Maybe Gillespie. But as the only guy in that position, what the Texans have to decide is how much are we going to use him in scrimmage plays. But then you have to also take into account him as a special teams player who has been You know, he's been not great, but he's been above average. I mean, he's been a big integral part of special teams on kickoffs and kickoff returns and other special teams plays.
One of the biggest storylines of the offseason has been Deshaun Watson's contract. I'm telling you, I'm predicting that the contract gets done tomorrow. I think tomorrow will be the day when we find out Deshaun Watson is probably the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I think Deshaun Watson per year is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I think it happens tomorrow. They've been working towards it. Friday is usually a day when the news comes out. I think you give him that contract on Friday. Saturday, Bill O'Brien goes to the office, makes the cuts. And then you come back Sunday, Monday, ready to go. You come back ready to get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they get that out of the way right off the top. I think they're working on it right now. I think Deshaun gets his deal mañana.
Yeah, they're definitely working on it. If it's tomorrow, I'd be mildly surprised. I think it'll probably happen Monday or Tuesday. As I mentioned, you know, Sunday is their Tuesday. That would be the normal players' day off. So I'm guessing Monday, when everybody's back in the building, that we'll have an announcement. But, hey, I'll take it whenever they can get it done.
Pat Mahomes got engaged 2 days ago. Is there any stress for a NFL quarterback when it comes to planning a wedding? Do you think there's anything in the world Pat Mahomes has to do? He doesn't even have to lift a finger, does he? No.
He just says yes and how much. But that's just not quarterbacks either. That's everybody. And every dude out there, the simplest way to get married and in terms of the wedding is just say yes and how much. Because no matter when they ask you your opinion will not matter ultimately. Sorry.
I mean, well, not everyone has an endless budget, though. So don't you
no, no.
have to
well,
ask
I
how
know,
much
but
first?
I'm saying
Shouldn't
how much
first?
No, I'm not talking about endless budgets. Everybody knows their budget, and every bride is going to go into the planning with a particular budget. I mean, my daughter's getting married right now. She knows the budget and are planning a wedding right now. So it's always in the context of how much in that budget. So, yeah, guys, just take it from me, please. Just say yes and how much.
Have they been pushing the budget?
No, they've been going the other way because obviously with the pandemic, there are so many things that they haven't even been able to plan yet. That we haven't even really spent that much at all. You know, we got the dress, we got the photographer, got the place, but other than that, man, we're not even sure how many people are going to be in the place. You know, it's in April, so are we going to be able to do the whole 300 people or what?
Of all the results that could happen a week from now, it is Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you a week away from Texans Chiefs. A shootout loss would not be the worst thing. If the Texans lose a high-scoring game, let's say the offense looks good, Cooks looks good, Deshaun's spreading it out, David Johnson looks all right, O-line looks good, defense, don't expect much from the Texans defense. They get lit up somewhat by the awesome Kansas City offense, one of the best in the league. A shootout wouldn't disappoint too many people. I don't think we would come on the mic in 8 days on Football Friday and say, oh my gosh, this sucks, the sky is falling. But what if the offense looks lackluster? What if the offense just looks stale? What if it looks stagnant? Of all the potential overreactions on Friday, that to me is the one that I think would not only generate, but I think it would warrant the most passionate, uneasy reaction from Texans fans. The offense has to look good on Thursday, man.
Yeah, I think a shootout loss would actually be the second most encouraging thing to any kind of win. You know, any kind of win, any kind of victory, the second most encouraging thing is going to be a shootout loss. Bad offense, and, I mean, we call it Reaction Monday. It might be Overreaction Monday in that case because we'd be like, oh, Tim Kelly. How much pressure is on Tim Kelly to at least show some life here, at least show some newness, you know, at least show some creativity that we haven't seen in the past. Tell us something we don't know already, you know. That's what the pressure is on him.
Let's compare Tim Kelly to Bill Walsh. Let's see how Tim Kelly sounds side by side with Bill Walsh, one of the best, rest in peace, one of the best offensive minds of all time, a genius, if you will. We continue geniuses and Tim Kelly here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's start with a little Bill Walsh coaching session. And this was after he was done coaching. 2002, Bill Walsh reunited with his former players. one of those old school clinics, those VHS type clinics. Here's the best of, and I tell you what, if Clint Sterner's driving in his car, my gosh, he is smiling right now because this is going to be music to his ears. Here's a little taste of the genius of Bill Walsh coaching at a clinic.
Now Joe is going to wait on these patterns because they're in a zone defense. So he's going to take 7 steps.
In the spring of 2002, Bill Walsh gathered some of his former players together to shoot an instructional video.
Hitch, 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 throw. You notice the timing on all of these is almost letter perfect. And these guys haven't played for a few years. That's too much, John, right there. Head around, throw the ball. Now the feet are always moving as he looks for that alternate receiver. Step toward it and throw it. Very good. Very well done.
Pretty. Pretty.
That was a heck of a throw.
And that will be a beauty.
Everything is timed. Head snaps around. Throw the ball. Now, you notice Joe actually covered up to 3 yards on his first step. Now, that's the key to quarterbacking. He's going to throw off his right foot. The ball's going to be a foot in front of the numbers to Roger, almost to the inch, 10 yards deep.
That's a genius right there.
Man, that's fun to hear.
It's a genius.
God,
right
that's
there.
Fun to hear.
I could listen to that all day. Here is a little Tim Kelly, though, because we just heard Bill Walsh, and that was after his prime.
Oh, no, don't do this to Tim Kelly.
Look, man, I'm giving him a fair shake. A genius.
That's not fair.
That's Bill
not
Walsh
fair.
Right there.
You're putting
there.
Tim Kelly next to Bill Walsh, who created the West Coast offense that everyone uses.
Okay. Tim Kelly, show us your genius. Why did you get into coaching?
Damn. You know, when we lost our last playoff game, I knew that I wasn't done with it yet. I knew I wasn't good enough to play anymore, but I wasn't ready to let the game go. So, I talked to some of my coaches that I played for and asked what I could do to stay around, and kind of just kept hanging around and ended up getting a graduate, assistant position, and we were off and running there.
Okay,
just hanging around.
Dude, he just made it seem like he decided to work for his dad's company or something like that.
I was there. I was the next guy in the room.
I mean, normally when you ask someone, how did you decide to do what you did? Figgy, what made you decide to be a radio producer and the best in the world at what you do?
You want the real answer?
Just give me something. I just want the answer.
I was a music guy. I love being around music. I love listening to music, and I wanted to get into radio to talk about it.
Okay, there we go. John Lopez, how did you become an award-winning sports writer?
It was my childhood dream. I'm one of the exceptions. Most people, what do you want to be when you grow up? They tell you, and they ultimately end up doing something. You could have asked me in fifth grade what I wanted to be when I grew up, and it was pretty much what I'm doing right now.
All right,
it was in my blood.
There you go. And you've done a good job, and that's a great story. It's always been a bond between my father and I. We would drive in the car. We'd listen to sports radio. We'd listen to it at home. When my parents got divorced, we'd talk about sports, went to school for journalism, worked my way up from the bottom to, I guess, the middle, wherever the hell I am right now. That's the story right there. Tim Kelly, one more time. You're a coach. That's your career. How'd you get into that?
Damn. When we lost our last playoff game, I knew that I wasn't done with it yet. I knew I wasn't good enough to play anymore, but I wasn't ready to let the game go. So, I talked to some of my coaches that I played for and asked what I could do to stay around, and kind of just kept hanging around and ended up getting a graduate, assistant position, and we were off and running there.
Okay, all right.
What can I do to stay around?
In fairness, maybe that's what all coaches say. Let's go to Mike Martz, the offensive coordinator of the greatest show on turf. Mike Martz, do you like coaching, or did you just know that you wanted to hang around? Mike Martz, tell me what you like about coaching.
I love teaching.
Hey, hang on a second. Every stand, take a deep breath.
I was raised to be a teacher. That's what coaching is.
We don't want you out here now. If you're going around that corner, you'll be nice and snug.
If you can help a young man maybe just make a little progress in his life, that's the thrill for me. I know it may sound corny, but that's why I coach, period. If you can help somebody or a team or a group of guys become something that maybe they didn't think they could do, well, there's not enough money that can buy that. So eventually, in football, you will become what you accept. I firmly believe that. Don't ever accept anybody's definition of who you are as a man or as a player or as a coach. That's really when, as a coach, you go, oh, man, this is fun.
Okay.
I really feel like Mike March is the kind of guy that can teach anything. You know, he'll dig in and learn everything he needs to know about it and then be able to teach it just with that knack. Very professorial, you know, his demeanor, you know, very much laid back but clear. Kind of a offensive type of Wade Phillips, to be honest.
I'm tearing up. Honestly,
that was impressive. He's impressive.
I'm tearing up. I need to get rid of these tears. Tim Kelly, why'd you get into coaching again?
Depth.
You know, when we lost our last playoff game, I knew that I wasn't done with it yet. I knew I wasn't good enough to play anymore. Okay. But I wasn't ready to let the game go. So, you know, I talked to some of my coaches that I played for and asked what I could do to stay around. And, you know, kind of just kept hanging around and ended up getting a graduate, you know, assistant position. And we were off and running there.
There you go.
To be fair, he clearly loves the game. You know, he's one of those guys that's like, I don't want to let go of this game that I love. So, you know, we got to be fair there that he just didn't necessarily, you know, aspire to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL until it kind of became part of his next chapter.
Man, if he's a genius, a lot of stuff's going to change, though. A lot of stuff's going to change if Tim Kelly is a genius. We'll know in a week, or at least we'll get our first taste of it. We've heard about this guy for a long time. Who's this tight ends coach? Oh, who's this offensive coordinator? Why isn't this offensive coordinator calling plays? Now he's going to be calling plays, and he's going to be doing it for the very first time 1 week from now. We got you covered on Sports Radio 610. Geniuses and Tim Kelly, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. A lot of people mad at Bill O'Brien this offseason. But were they as mad at him as they were Daryl Morey? And after last night, is Daryl Morey officially off the hook? We'll cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Is Daryl Morey off the hook? We know Tillman Fertitta's been mad at him. He can say he hasn't been, but he has been. We can go to the
table. It's a
right
trick
now.
Question.
Whether he's at the White House, whether he's having a few cocktails, Daryl Morey's been a little bit... I don't want to say attacked. I would say bashed by Tillman Fertitta. If you don't believe me, let me show you. Here is Tillman Fertitta talking about Daryl Morey at the White House earlier this year.
It's been devastating, and it's, you know, it's funny you brought up about China. I should have realized it was going to be a bad year for China when my general manager tweeted out, you know, freedom for Hong Kong. So that started my year with China.
And you kept it quiet, right? You kept that quiet.
So I'm still trying to work that out. And here comes something else.
He owns the Houston Rockets, in case you don't know. Yeah, he did cause you a little ruckus. Whatever happened to him, by the way? Is he still working for you?
Yes, he is.
He must be pretty good.
Yes, because it's a trick question, but he is.
There's a trick question. And on top of that, Tillman Fertitta, according to some people in Golden State, even when Chris Paul was here, he was talking about how bad that contract was and how bad stuff was going on. And then Chris Paul gets traded and he almost ends the Rockets season. I think yesterday would have been the worst, capping off the worst year possible that Daryl Morey could have had with everything that went on. But I ask you, J-Lo, given the way that things went down and given the fact that the Rockets did win that game, is Daryl Morey off the hook?
It's one of the most interesting things in Houston sports, and most people truly don't really even recognize it or talk about it, because Daryl Morey has cost the league, much less Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets, millions of dollars, and is still Teflon. I mean, stuff just slides right off of him. Now, who knows what goes on behind the scenes and in private spaces, but...
Well, we just got a little taste.
Well, yeah, that is a kind of a hint. So there's that. Stuff just slides right off of him. He's been brilliant. He's a brilliant dude, first of all. MIT, the whole nine yards, you know. But he's been especially brilliant at manipulating the media. And sometimes manipulate has a bad connotation. You take it how you want. But he manipulates the media masterfully. He's got certain guys that he has become very close to on the national front. locally. Always has a good rapport with everyone, and it buys him, you know, some leeway. But that being so I say that because I feel like he's never really been on the hook publicly, you know. No, I mean, you and I have talked about it, and I've been talking about it for at least a year now, where have y'all noticed that he's really not winning? You know, he's putting together pretty impressive rosters, and it's really not happening. I mean, this team is, and he's been here a long time. This is his 14th year. So to be honest, I don't think he's ever really been on the hook publicly. Privately, maybe a little more so, because you got that hint that you just played from Tillman Fertitta, and I don't think yesterday changed anything. He still cost the league a lot of money, no matter what, you know, happened against the Thunder. He still might be in the bad graces sometimes with his owner. He still hasn't won anything. It was the first round of the postseason. I don't think anything's changed at all. No matter, it was just a really good. It changed for James Harden, but I don't think it really has changed that much for Daryl Morey.
I don't really know if Tillman Fertitta thinks Daryl Morey is as good as he may have originally thought. Because as I said, I've heard from people firsthand that, you know, even in front of the Warriors, with the Warriors brass. You know, there was some talk about, you know, this Chris Paul contract. It's not very good. And this was when Paul was, you know, still on the squad and all this type of stuff. And then they trade the Chris Paul contract. They bring in Russell Westbrook. You have the China stuff. I don't know that Tillman Fertitta really believes that Daryl Morey is just this genius that is the end-all be-all when it comes to being a GM of a basketball team.
And you know why I agree with you? Because I think he's still in restaurant mode. I think, you know, how many stories have you heard since he's become owner? You know, I've had a bunch of people, you know, talking to me. You know, he goes through managers and high-level managers, general managers in his restaurants like nothing.
He wanted D'Antoni to be year-to-year, dude.
Yeah. No, he just goes through. He's got that restaurant. You're replaceable. There's someone who has your skill set that I can just hire. So hit your quota, hit your mark, or else you're out of here. Oh, you didn't hit your mark? Okay, you're out of here. All right, so when he said, you know, that I think the most telling quote that he said recently was, we should have put our throat on him. The foot, we should have put our foot on the throat. That was the restaurant mogul coming out saying, I know I can find somebody who can do that. Well, you can't. This isn't, you know, Landry's. This isn't Saltgrass. You know, this is the NBA. There are not a lot of guys who have the talents of Mike D'Antoni, but I think he's just been conditioned for his entire life that you can do that.
I was so happy that the Rockets survived yesterday because Morey's safe. The idea to trade James Harden, which Wade Smith said yesterday on this show, is one of the worst ideas I've heard in a long time, and I thought Wade would know better. But D'Antoni was gone. If Oklahoma City hits a shot at the buzzer and the Rockets end their season, D'Antoni's gone. And I just didn't want to see it in for him like that. I didn't want to see him go down like that, John. I wanted them to at least get a chance to face the Lakers because I think D'Antoni deserves better fate than that.
He does. I just feel bad that a lot of people even thought that his tenure here was riding on one game in the first round of the postseason. If it really did, then he's going to get fired no matter what, unless they win the whole dang thing. You know, if Tillman Fertitta thought the same thing, boy, he better win this one or he's out. Well, then he's going to be out anyway. You know, you've already decided that he's not your guy, if that's the case.
Honestly, if I'm D'Antoni and I win the whole dang thing, I might just
I might
off.
Still peace out.
I might still peace out, go find another gig, maybe in New Orleans, something like that.
Not in Brooklyn.
Yeah, speaking of that, Mike D'Antoni, a guy who won two MVPs, not one, but two MVPs with Mike D'Antoni. He's going to be coaching the Brooklyn Nets. Steve Nash is going to coach the Nets. This is going to be very, very interesting. We've seen guys somewhat young to the post-playing career get coaching jobs. We've seen Jason Kidd do it. Now Steve Nash is going to coach Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, all those guys up there in Brooklyn. That'll be interesting to watch. I actually think he's going to do a very, 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 very good job. I think Steve Nash is going to be very good at coaching.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know, man.
I don't think anybody knows. You know, there is no track record. I mean, nothing other than an incredible career. He was one of the absolute great players to watch.
I grew up running around bothering him.
He was so good.
I grew up bothering him, man.
He really was bad and bougie as a player. But nobody knows if he's going to be a good coach. What I do know is Kevin Durant hired him. I mean, this was not some out-of-the-box hire by management or ownership. Kevin Durant said, who has a relationship with him, and Nash was kind of behind the scenes helping Kevin Durant the last few years. Kevin Durant went to ownership or whomever and said, I want Steve Nash. And they said, all right. I mean, that's all this is. So is he going to be good? Nobody knows. Kevin Durant hired him.
And he's got Kyrie Irving and KD. It's hard to be too bad when you got those two. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Let's go live to the Juice Box. It is Greinke Day. Zach Greinke's going to be on the bump in about 40 minutes. We'll talk to Adam Spillane, who's out there covering the game. He also covers the Rockets. We'll talk to him about whether or not the Rockets have a chance. We're going to talk about Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien has 1 week to get ready for the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he going to be up to the task, or is he not going to have a play? We'll discuss next.
Good storytelling skills.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, B.O.B., you got a week to get it right. Bill O'Brien, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, 1 week from today. Do you think B.O.B. needed a preseason game, J-Lo?
No. No, I really don't. He's such a junkie like all these coaches. He broke this down. Plus, he had a lot of time on his hands. Now, Tim Kelly, yeah, could have seen a preseason game out of him. Same with Anthony Weaver, to be honest. But B.O.B., I think he's done it enough times. He was prepared, and he had time on his hands with the shutdown that he was he's prepared for every conceivable thing in the lead up to this season.
The thing that concerns me is what's it going to be like for him when he puts on a headset in a game environment the first time and he sees Tim Kelly call play that he doesn't agree with. I mean, like,
will he have a play sheet in his back pocket?
Hell yes. I can promise you that is 100,000% he's going to have that. And how's he going to react, and how much attention is he going to be able to pay to the defense and the special teams? Because I like the idea of a walk-around head coach. We've seen some guys do that at a successful level. But when you're an offensive guy and you've been calling the plays for 6 years, whatever it is that Bill O'Brien's been doing it, as soon as you trust somebody and something happens, like, are you talking to him the whole time during the break? Are you on the sidelines with him? How much attention are you paying? I just think maybe going through that exercise in a preseason game would have been nice. And that's not to say they're not doing it in scrimmage. I saw that, but it's a lot different when you're in Kansas City, a team that you blew a 24-point lead to last year and ended your season, and Tim Kelly calls a play that you don't agree with. How is he going to react to that? And could he have used a little bit more extra, like a dress rehearsal of some sort?
Can he help himself? You know, that's the biggest issue. You know, he's been this guy his whole life, man. I mean, can he help himself? Can he sit back and actually sit back? I mean, that's what we're all going to be watching, you know, and you know, the whole season, much less the first game.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We're going to go out to the Juice Box in just a sec. We're about 30 minutes away from first pitch. It is the day of Zach Greinke. We'll talk to Adam Spillane out there. He's holding it down. Also covers the Rockets for us, so we'll get his take on the Rockets here in 5 minutes. Nobody talks baseball better than Spillane. And of course, the other thing is, I think the Deshaun contract watch is upon us. I think it's happening tomorrow. I really do. I truly do think tomorrow, whether it's on our show, whether it's on Payne and Pendergast, whether it's on Ron and Clint's show, I think Deshaun's getting his contract tomorrow. Stuff happens on Friday with the Texans when it comes to news. I think Deshaun gets that deal tomorrow. Deshaun becomes a very, very rich man manana.
I hope so. I mean, I know he's going to be a very, very rich man. They've been working on it. I don't think – I mean, you never know. I don't think there's been any big, you know, stumbling blocks, so to speak, just ironing out probably, you know, bonuses and the usual stuff and when, you know, when you're going to get it and outs and length of contract. So it could easily be done today. I mean, it could be done, tomorrow for sure. I just think that they're going to wait for the big splash because they're going to want to take a bow on this one, and I would too. That's not a criticism. This is your guy. You got your guy for the next however many years, and you're paying him, and everybody's going to be excited about it.
What do you mean take a bow?
A victory lap. We locked up Deshaun Watson, man. I mean, just like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know Deshaun hasn't won like Patrick Mahomes, but it's a message to the fans. It's a message to everybody who has season tickets, everybody who's considered season tickets, fans who are just casual fans. It just kind of generates that interest, man.
So you think they're just going to want to go up there and gloat a little
bit? Big splash.
We signed Deshaun Watson. Splash. Was there a choice?
Well, no, there was not a choice, but this is where they take the victory lap. We got it done, man. Deshaun says really nice things. They say really nice things. They talk about the future and all the good things that are going
to
happen.
Just make it a news dump. I don't want Deshaun to have to go up there and do that. Let him focus on the game. let him go hang out with his friends.
Just hide it
or something like that. Yeah, I don't need.
Don't let anybody know that you signed a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, we don't need a victory lap. Come on, Deshaun, don't do that. What'd you think of Leonard Fournette signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And I know Clint Sterner throwing out the possibility of him coming to the Texans. A lot of people say he just does not work hard and doesn't really like football that much. He's going to Tampa Bay and he's going to join Tom Brady in their backfield, which includes LeSean McCoy and Ronald Jones.
Yeah, I thought of Clint Sterner first, to be honest, because he was kind of advocating or stating a good case for the Texans to make a run at him. You know, you got the Duke and David show here. And then you still have questions about durability and how good they are inside the tackles, et cetera. We know the story. And he made a good case for that. Well, the Buccaneers did exactly that, man. I mean, they had a good backfield. They have a backfield that they've been happy with. Probably wouldn't have changed too much if Leonard Fournette wasn't on the market. And then they brought him in. I mean, they made that move, and it was a bold move. I don't know how successful it is, but you were talking earlier, maybe he just wants to play. It's different when you want to play for Tom Brady, with Tom Brady or whoever. I think he would love to play with Deshaun Watson. I mean, it was just the Bucs decided to get it done.
I don't know about the depth of this backfield. You know, when you tell me that Buddy Howe is a play away, I don't know how much they like Caron Higdon. I don't think that if David Johnson goes down, I don't know how much they would trust Duke Johnson. I don't know if that means that they just throw the ball more with Deshaun Watson. I don't know if that means we see Deshaun Watson running more, but David Johnson goes down. I don't know that in a perfect world they want to give Duke Johnson the rock 20 times and just see what happens. So are you telling me now that all of a sudden Buddy Howe is going to be getting carries in games that matter or Caron Higdon? I like the way Higdon runs the rock. It just kind of concerns me with the types of backs that you have that there is really that much depth at a position where, let's be honest, guys get hurt all the time. And it takes a long time to bring guys in. Now, you could bring guys in on Thursday and they could be ready to go on Sunday. You give them a few carries in the old days. I don't know if you can do that now with the COVID process and everything like that.
Yeah, that process is going to take time. But I'm more concerned about just the ability they have. You know, Fournette is proving it. 1,600 yards plus altogether last year. That's no chump. Now, he may not like football as much as some people, but that's still 1,600 yards. Where are you going to find that off the street? You know, how much is – and I'm a big Caron Higdon fan. I've talked about him since last year, you know, the whole Camp Crush thing and all that. He's not going to give you that. I mean, he's just not. He hasn't proved it, and Fournette has. I think it's a roll of the dice nevertheless because there's clearly something more than what's been happening on the field, because on the field it's unquestioned that even though he might not be – you know, the best Pro Bowler out there, or even a Pro Bowler, he's still productive. So it's got to be more than that.
Let's go out to the juice box, talk to Adam Spillane. Adam Spillane covering the Stros tonight, also covers the Rockets. Damn, they got some nice sound going on out there, Adam. What's going on out there? Take us inside a ballpark covering a baseball game during these times, during this new norm.
So I'm looking stands, and I see four people down the first baseline behind the Astros dugout. I see Zach Greinke and Martin Maldonado in the outfield. I think Brent Strom's out there and Javier Bracamonte. I don't see anyone, or now I see someone with the Rangers out on the field. So it is empty. I guess it's dog day. I don't see any dogs, but they have pictures of dogs on the video board right now.
There you go. All right. Okay. All right.
There we go. It's Greinke Day. I know you love this day. I think the only person in town that loves Greinke Day as much as me is you. What have you thought about how Greinke has handled himself since Verlander's gone down?
He's been great. I mean, he's been the ace that I think that they thought they were getting when they traded for him last July. He's gone out there and he's given them quality start after quality start after quality start. And even on days where he doesn't feel his best, his last start against the A's, he didn't feel good. He had a thing with his neck and they weren't 100% sure that he would even be able to make that start. But he still gave them, what, five quality innings in that game and put them in position to win. And that's exactly what they needed from him. And he has given them that every time out since that first start.
You know, Adam, it's funny because I agree with you. You know, he's kind of battled through maybe not his top stuff, but that's what he is now. Because you look at his numbers, if you just looked at his numbers, you're like, well, Zach Greinke is kind of scuffling right now. He's had 11 innings. He's given up 6 runs and 10 hits in his last 11 innings. That, by most accounts, is an ace who might be struggling. But that's kind of the where he is right now as a pitcher, right? He's not the overwhelming pitcher anymore. He's got to just scramble sometimes.
No, he's thrown 6 pitches this season over 90 miles an hour. I mean, that's pretty remarkable in this day and age of where things are at. And he's got to be perfect. I mean, he has to be 100% with his command. If he misses a spot, then a lot of times he's going to pay for it. And that's what happened to him just against the A's. That it took him a little bit of time to get going in that start. The first inning, he gave up a couple of runs. But, you know, the fact that he's able to bounce back from a first inning and continue to give them quality innings and give them a chance to win, he will have his starts where he goes 7 innings and gives up a run. I mean, that's just, you know, when the command is spot on like it has been for a lot of the season, he'll be able to do that. It's just a matter of when the command isn't at its best and he's
right.
trying to get hitters out throwing 88. Can he still do that? And so far he's been able to.
Talking to Adam Spillane live at the Juice Box out there at first pitch coming up at 1:10, 25 minutes away. Zach Greinke going to be on the mound. Obviously, you cover the Rockets as well. What was your takeaway from the game yesterday? Did Harden have his moment? What caught your eye?
I think that I'm trying. You know, I've tried to formulate an opinion about this. It kind of feels like if Harden had not stepped up in the fourth quarter, and if he does not make that block on Dort to end the game, I don't know how he comes back from that game. The first three quarters, the first three quarters were so bad. And he looked so out of sorts, and you just weren't sure what you were watching. And I'll be honest with you, I wondered if D'Antoni would even bring him back for the fourth quarter. That's how bad he was in that game. And they went on, and they fell behind a little bit at the start of the fourth. And I wondered, were they just going to roll with Westbrook and let him run the show and let these other guys? Was it almost going to be like a Clippers situation where McHale didn't bring him back? Does D'Antoni even bring him back? He brought him back, and Harden was really good in the fourth quarter. And I think that's where he's grown so much, is that he could put three really bad quarters behind him and step up when he had to.
Back on the Astros real quick, because I know there's a lot of moving and shaking going on in personnel.
Yes.
With Bregman, what else would you expect, and is the Joe Biagini era officially over?
Well, let's start with some of the injuries. Alex Bregman has been dealing with the hamstring injury. He is going to go on the trip. He's going to be with them when they go to, I think it's Anaheim, then Oakland, and then L.A. So he'll go, and I think there's a chance that he gets activated. Dusty Baker said that Chris Davinsky and Brad Peacock will also go on the road trip. And then it looks like right now Jose Urquidy is tentatively scheduled to start one of the doubleheader games in Anaheim on Saturday. So they're going to have to make some moves. I mean, that's three pitchers that you will likely see added to the big league roster at some point over the next 8 days. And, yeah, it kind of feels like right now, unless Joe Biagini gets an opportunity here today or over the weekend in Anaheim and he pitches really well, he's got to do a lot in order to prove that he deserves to be on the roster. I mean, they've got some guys. You know, Luis Garcia is a guy who would probably get sent down. And they've got probably a couple other candidates for that. But the other issue that Biagini has is that I believe, and I don't know this for sure, and I have to double check, I believe they need to create space on the 40-man roster. And
gotcha.
I don't know if they would want to, you know, do you want to DFA a young guy like Luis Garcia, who I think plenty of teams would be very interested in picking up to add to their 40-man. So I think that that's the issue that Biagini has, is that there's a 40-man roster crunch.
Talking to Adam Spillane live at the Juice Box here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Going back to Rockets, how do you think they match up with LeBron James and the Lakers in round two?
It's a weird series for them because where you look, they just played a team that is so guard-oriented with Oklahoma City, and now you go to a team where their guards really aren't that good, aside from LeBron, if he does, in fact, play, you know, as one of their guards. The Covington matchup with Davis is obviously one to watch. Can Davis really assert himself against the Rockets? Because the Rockets had success against Davis when they played in the regular season. And then what happens LeBron versus Tucker? And do the Rockets try to deviate from switching everything against LeBron? Because I do think they like the matchup with Tucker and LeBron. PJ's not going to be able to match up LeBron in terms of quickness, but at least in strength, PJ is right there. Do they want to switch and leave Gordon or Harden or Westbrook in some of those matchups? That's not great for them, especially with Harden, because that's a great way to get Harden into some foul trouble. So I'm interested to see how much they deviate from what they've done all season defensively in this series.
I go back to 2011. In 2011, when the Mavs won the championship, they faced a Portland team that kind of pushed them really, really hard. It was a six-game series. It was kind of a back-and-forth. It was back before Brandon Roy's leg basically fell off. But they went into the second round, and they were facing the Lakers too, and they just completely kicked their ass. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with the Rockets. I just think a lot of times what you see in round one where a team struggles, it's completely different stylistically. And just like outside of Kobe, the Lakers really weren't guard-heavy either. I'm not saying the Rockets are going to pull off the upset, but I don't know how much what we saw against Oklahoma City has to do with anything that's going to happen tomorrow and moving forward.
I think that there was a big sense of just they were so relieved to get through that series, and you could see it just in the Zoom press conferences after the game. It almost feels like a big weight was lifted off their shoulders, and now they go into this series really with nothing to lose. No one's expecting them to win this series. They are huge underdogs against the Lakers coming up in this series. The matchup for them is a little easier in some aspects. I think they'll have a whole lot. I think they will have an easier time scoring in this series because you don't have Dort to have to deal with. And so I think Harden has got to be relieved that he doesn't have to go up against that guy for 48 minutes or whatever it is every single game. But just LeBron and Davis, that's just really tough to deal with. And no one can really match up with those guys. That's what makes the Lakers so unique, is that you have two guys that you really can't match up with no matter who you have on your team.
Talking to Adam Spillane live from the Juice Box, talking about the Rockets' win yesterday, Game 7. What exactly would have been the, I guess, the snowball effect of a loss yesterday? If the Rockets had lost that game yesterday, what would have changed with this organization? What was the potential snowball effect?
So obviously the head coach is gone. I think that would have been a given, and I still don't know. And I would still say the money is against Mike D'Antoni returning next season. But I think you could have seen anything. I wouldn't have ruled anything out. I would not have ruled a change with the general manager. I wouldn't have ruled out. I think a Harden trade or anything like that would have been highly unlikely. But I couldn't have ruled it out. So I think that there were a lot of things could have been in play. You have an owner in Tillman Fertitta who's an emotional guy, and I just don't know what he would have done. He's such a wild card still for me because we haven't really seen him in that sort of a situation before. So I wouldn't have ruled out anything, and I still don't necessarily rule out anything for the offseason, especially when you look at the financial aspect of what they could be dealing with moving forward, with everyone in the league moving forward. And just, you know, when you look at how Tillman has built an empire on restaurants and casinos, and that's not the best business to be in right now. So I think anything is still in play with them moving forward. But yeah, it could have been seismic. It could have been a seismic shift in the organization had they not won that game yesterday.
Talking to Adam Spillane here on Sports Radio 610. So how do you see this whole thing going? LeBron James versus the Rockets, first time ever. How's it going to go?
I would pick the Lakers probably in six. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven, but I just think LeBron is just playing it at such a high level, and I just don't know. Whenever you doubt LeBron, and we talked about this the other night, whenever you doubt LeBron, he always does something.
But it happens every year, too. It happens every year.
It's unbelievable how often it happens. And they might lose game one of the series, and it still doesn't matter. LeBron is LeBron, and he has not lost before the finals in this decade. He basically went through a whole decade without losing before the finals. So it's hard for me to think that that's going to happen again in this series. But I think the Rockets provide some issues for the Lakers that they didn't have to deal with against Portland.
Adam Spillane, live from the Juice Box, covering the Astros game tonight, which is about to take off here in less than 20 minutes. Adam, appreciate you for joining us, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, that's Adam Spillane, SportsRadio610.com, one of the best baseball minds around here. They're still playing that music for the people, Figgy. The cardboard cutouts still get that music. I guess
it sounds lit.
It sounds like a full ballpark. Kind of makes me wonder about the environments of past. Very, very strange for the Astros. First pitch, 110. It is Grinky Day. We got you covered on SportsRadio610.com, courtesy of the great Adam Spillane. We got some drama, movement, and confusion. Let's go around the NFL 1 week away from the Texans' start of the season next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.